And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, I think that the big political news this week was not a general election for a public office, but a union election in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The UAW has mounted a campaign against companies that run 15 non-union auto plants in the South, which include Honda, Volkswagen, the big three American companies, really the big five. And there hasn't been a UAW victory, a union victory, in an election in a auto plant since the mid-1940s. And the UAW won the election to unionize the Chattanooga Volkswagen plant, a place where they had tried, this is their fourth time. They tried three times and they lost in the last 8 years. This time they won. 82% of the workers voted, and 75% of the ones who voted voted for the union. That is a resounding victory. And it's the kickoff to a campaign in four other states, which, to me, has significant political implications.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it demonstrates that persistence pays off. Remember, I've always said you got to think long term. You got to keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. Just like the Republicans kept at trying to overturn Roe versus Wade for years and years and years and worked at it. Number two, this is what appears to me to be a reflection on the victories that the union won in the Michigan strikes from last year. Winning gets to be contagious. And it wasn't just that they won, but the workers down in Tennessee could see what they won and see that these were real victories, real benefits that the union got. And they changed their mind over or changed their viewpoint of being unionized in this. We'll have to see how the other votes go, but it's hard to figure out how the companies are going to try to stymie this thing from spreading.
Well, of course, the Volkswagen management, if they operate the way they normally operate, will not negotiate a contract. They'll just stall.
Right. Now, in Germany, they're unionized, I believe.
Not only are they unionized in Germany, the law has the union on the board of directors of the company.
Right, right. But in America, they don't want this. We should note that the governors of these southern states all came out against the union. They put their thumb on the scale of these union elections, which is an interesting point. And like I said, we'll have to see how the others come in. But it certainly is something. We know for years that management has been moving from place to place wherever unions have established themselves in order to get cheaper labor. This area has been particularly hard hit when they had the, I guess you call them the needle trades, mm-hmm. that left New York City for here for cheaper labor, and then for here they left for down south, North and South Carolina in particular. Mm-hmm. We should mention one other thing, because another company had gone to the South. The company's name is Boeing. And if you remember, a number of years back, they left some of their production from Washington State and moved it to South Carolina. And I believe that some of the planes that have shown problems in manufacturing have come out of that South Carolina plants or those areas. We live in an age when the bottom line is superior to the quality of the product or the end product itself. We mentioned this when the Scranton Times got taken over by hedge funds and what have you. And we did talk about Boeing a few weeks back, the problems they've had. We'll see about how the UAW is, how they do. By the way, in Scranton, the workers, the unionized workers at the Community Medical Center, Geisinger, have voted for a strike over conditions. They say that they're being overworked. The company's taken away sick leave time. I mean, can you imagine? This is a health care.
Well, the company was bought by Kaiser Permanente. You know, it's part of an even larger conglomerate than it was at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, but these problems have predated that. Of course, they never talk about the wages of the CEO and the upper management.
No.
that they get. I was talking to someone this week that was at the CMC, and they said it's not the place that they'd want to be being treated at this point. But we have that situation now. The unions seem to have gained some momentum, and Joe Biden has helped. Joe Biden came to Scranton this week. He gave, billed as a major speech on taxes, but he also went to Pittsburgh to the Union Hall. He went to Union Hall here in Scranton, the IBEW Hall in Southside. And, or is it the Carpenters Union in Southside? I can't remember which one. But, his line has been that the middle class built America and unions built the middle class. And he keeps repeating that and repeating that and repeating that. I know that you and I have talked to union heads over the years who said it's in our best interest to vote Democratic, but we have a hard time getting our members to think that way, that they're more enthralled with the social issues, guns and things like that. We'll have to see how this year plays out in those things.
With the potential of the just picking Tennessee for because they did win there. Tennessee is represented by two extraordinarily reactionary senators, Marsha Blackburn and Bill Hagerty. Marsha Blackburn is up for re-election first. You can't imagine a stupider, more reactionary person who really celebrates her ignorance than Marsha Blackburn. And with the UAW potential presence in Tennessee, which it didn't exist before, you might find an organized political movement now that can effectively challenge Marsha Blackburn and people like Marsha Blackburn, not only Marsha Blackburn. That's the significance to me of the UAW's victory. They may get a contract that's good. They may not get a contract that's good. But if they project themselves beyond the factory gates, if they say, no, there's a social issue in the state that affects us, as it does, because after all, if all of the governors came out against the UAW, it certainly shows that the government is not impartial. The government is stacked in favor of the anti-union forces, which means the anti-worker forces.
But it shows they're scared. Shows they're scared.
Yeah, they're scared. And they potentially should be scared. If the union will follow through on its potential, they ought to be scared. They might not follow through. They might act like the construction trades unions acted, throughout most of the 20th century by being loyal supporters of the Republican Party. But they might not. They might act like the UAW acted during the New Deal days. It depends on the leadership of the UAW. I don't know what the political leadership is like. It's not a union that has had outstanding leaders in the last 20 years. A couple of them went to jail for stealing from the union. But none of them tried to organize the South like the current leadership is trying to do. So, in other words, the point I'm trying to make is that this Union victory in a plant goes way beyond the significance of the plant and way beyond just higher wages for those particular workers.
Yeah, it should only come to pass. But we have to remember that the Tennessee of today is not the Tennessee of the past. It's not the Tennessee of Senators Gore or Senator Baker or Senator Brock or wasn't Bill Brock the head of the RNC at one point?
I think he was, yeah.
You know, or even Lamar Alexander in his early years.
It's Marsha Blackburn, for Christ's sakes.
It's MAGA. And we've seen the Tennessee State Legislature, which is really...
Which keeps throwing those people out, those two young black legislators from Memphis.
Yeah.
They keep shutting them up, throwing them out. Of course. These are terrible people. And these politicians, these reactionary politicians, need to be thrown out. And for that, you need a grassroots movement. The Democratic Party hasn't been able to mobilize a big enough grassroots movement. And traditionally, where the Democratic Party has done well, it's because the unions have made it do well.
So Biden may be onto something.
Maybe, but it's the UAW leadership that's carrying the ball at the moment down there.
Right. And you got to remember Donald Trump last summer when he went to Michigan, set up this phony meeting of a auto plant that was not unionized.
An auto parts plant. That's right. And the people who he had at the rally didn't even work at the plant. He bust them in. They were campaign supporters.
It's the show.
It's the Potemkin Village, right? Yeah,
they did this down at the border where they had people dressed up as border agents, on that. He just had an event at Mar-a-Lago where he had supposedly Marine flag bearers and stuff. People are questioning whether they were actually Marines or not. But he understands... the visuals. He understands the appearance. He understands the perception is reality. Although, I think he's also finding out that there's certain things that he cannot cannot produce and he cannot direct certain shows, and that is in the courtroom of United States or the state of New York in particular, where the director is the judge, he has to follow the script, so to speak. He can't just enter and leave on his own now.
He lost. He had a strategy. The strategy didn't work. His strategy was postpone the trial, and he couldn't do it. He got it. He postponed it a few times, but not enough, not long enough. So now he's in court.
Yeah. And he thought it was going to go a lot slower than it has been going.
That's right. They were looking to drag out the picking of the jury to maybe 3 weeks. It happened in 3 days.
Yeah. That was kind of surprising. But
I think he has a bigger problem. And I think his problem is the abortion problem. Yeah. Because the Republicans are now in turmoil again about the abortion problem. After riding it to victory, after using it as a way to mobilize strength, after Paul Weyrich's strategy of attracting the evangelicals into the Republican Party to give the Republican Party and the right wing a big voting bloc by using abortion as the issue, now it's threatening to split this thing apart since they won. The Arizona GOP, which has scored an astounding, wonderful victory. They managed to bring the United States law back to, colonial era times, a time before...
1864,
before Arizona was a state, before women were citizens, much less could vote. They didn't even have the right to own property or inherit property or enter into contracts.
They did have the age of consent.
10,
I think.
10? Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the Arizona GOP, given the opportunity to say, no, 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 we don't want to be governed by that kind of a law, said, no, 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 we do want the country to be governed by that kind of a law. And Trump attacked him for it. And even Kerry Lake attacked him for it.
Yeah.
Whereupon Pence said, Mike Pence, that paragon of virtue, said he's betrayed the pro-life movement, Trump has. I think that's a problem for him.
Well, it certainly muddies the waters. And if you don't have a cohesive strategy, if you're on both sides, because he is trying to say, I'm the guy that got rid of Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
And I sent it back to the states, but now I don't like what the states are doing, where people said, well, we told you so. This was going to happen.
Yeah.
It is somewhat of a mess in that situation.
But that's the big issue, right? Isn't that the big issue that the Democrats are counting on?
Yes, that is the issue, because they have ballot measures in a lot of the swing states and elsewhere, and the ballot measures always seem to win. It's not a sure thing. Last Sunday, George Stephanopoulos had an extended interview with Governor Chris Sununu from New Hampshire, and Sununu has been labeled as one of the darlings of the moderate type of Republican, the modern Republican, non-MAGA. He was against Trump. He was for Nikki Haley. He, represented a lot of things, although he chose not to try to run for the Senate for some reason. But, and Stephanopoulos started asking him questions. Well, if he's convicted, are you going to vote for him? And he says yes.
How about Bill Barr? Didn't Bill Barr do exactly the same thing? Bill Barr, who said Trump is unfit to be president, when asked who will you vote for, he says whoever the Republican candidate is.
Right.
Maybe he doesn't know what the state of the vote is, but I doubt that.
No, he knows.
Of course he knows.
And sure, he wants to undo the Constitution, and sure, I've taken an oath to the Constitution, but I'm a Republican. You know, John McCain ran on a slogan, country first, not America first, country first.
Mm-hmm.
And what these folks are doing is they're putting party first.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using party as a cover, as an excuse allow them to give them permission to vote for Trump. Now, Pence has said he's not going to vote for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that comes.
Well, you'll never know. He won't tell you.
Yeah, but as it gets on, he might get more and more questions. We'll see if he changes his public stance on that. We'll see.
Meanwhile, Trump has figured out a new way to make a living.
Yes.
Passed beyond Bibles.
Yes. Well, they've come out and they've told every Republican candidate on the down ballot tickets that if you use Trump in your ad, if you have a picture of him, if you have a quote from him, an endorsement from him, please send us 5% of your fundraising, sort of like a royalty, a kickback, an override. What do you want to call that?
How about a protection payment?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's where he got the idea from.
Yeah. If you don't, maybe I won't say. Maybe I'll say something that's not so good about you.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know.
Didn't you mention to me that you saw a book written by Joe Connison, tracing the gangster influence in Republican politics, tracing it back to the McCarthy days?
Yeah, the long con, the longest con, and He goes back to McCarthy and Roy Cohn, who, of course, Roy Cohn was the mentor to Donald Trump.
Right.
And Roger Stone. The article was in Vox a couple weeks ago. He goes beyond Stone. He goes into Richard Viguerie, who saw with the Goldwater campaign the mass marketing idea of mailing lists, the people who are signed up there. And then, of course, as you mentioned, that got brought to the evangelicals. And the Republican leadership was more than happy to use that, the Bill Buckleys and the Ronald Reagans and what have you.
It gave them a base, a mass base that didn't have before.
Right. And they could, and Vigory found they could sell these people anything.
Anything.
You could, right. And of course, then you had the moral majority and those folks using it. But you could sell Bibles, not for $60, you could sell them for $100.
Right.
All of these things.
God forbid you should leave them free in the book, around like they used to do in the hotels.
Yes. Well, yeah, that was the that there's a line. These things just didn't happen in 2024. These things have been, as I said, long-term trends on that.
So let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Long-term trends, short-term trends. We talk a lot about the Republicans and Trump. What's happening? We have a primary in Pennsylvania coming up on Tuesday.
Yeah.
If you didn't know it, you wouldn't know it.
Right. Before that, just want to mention, nationally, we have RFK Jr., and his quest. A lot of people think that his thing is a long con as well. He was toying with becoming the Libertarian Party candidate, and that didn't work out this week. He wound up getting the endorsement in Michigan of the Natural Law Party?
The Natural Law Party, right.
But he's on the ballot there. That could give Biden some problems. But Biden's answer to that was getting the rest of the Kennedy clan to come out and endorse him. It's hard to run when your own people say we're against you. But
Paul Gosar manages to win despite the fact that every member of his family signs ads against him in Arizona, but he wins anyway. His family says he's crazy. Don't vote for him.
Yeah. And there's a parallel with Trump because a lot of his ex-cabinet officials have come out against him,
right.
People that worked with him. Right. But anyway, I do want to get back to the ads because in many ways, this has been a low-key election. The election's happening this Tuesday, and you drive down the street and you hardly see any signs on lawns or signs along the roadway. You'd hardly know. Now, a lot of the offices for nomination are not being contested, but there are a couple of places. Pennsylvania Attorney General's race is being contested on both sides. The Democrats have 5 candidates, the Republicans 2. And it's interesting, maybe the guy that's on the far left, Jared Solomon.
Why is he on the left?
Well, he's advertising that he's pro Planned Parenthood and anti NRA, and he's trying to I think establish that side, and he's run as the Democrat. Now he does not have the endorsement. He's saying I am the Democrat, and he came out late. He had one ad with his mother in it, talking about how great he is, which is a weird ad. You know, he's got a wife and child. It makes him look a little bit like a mommy's boy. I had one of the Democratic state representatives that sits with him told me that he told Jared, he said, I think I'm going to vote for your mother, which I thought was a great line there. But he's now come out with an attack ad against Gene DePasquale, who's probably the more prominently known and has the support of most of the Democratic establishment. And he says it's down to 2 people.
But he didn't get enough votes to get the endorsement at the Democratic convention.
No, he didn't. And he hasn't run a single ad that I've seen up in this area. Is he running a front porch campaign, or is he just relying on the party? Hoarding his money? I don't know, because I don't know how it's looking around the rest of the state. But I think that's a risky move not to be out there.
But Solomon attacks him for being essentially a covert Republican.
Yeah, cooperating with the Republicans. Now, that's a dangerous thing now, because a lot of people said, hey, I want somebody who's bipartisan. I think I mentioned a few months ago, I went to a meeting that was called by Aaron Coffer, who's a Republican state rep who isn't running again. He's from Luzerne County. And he did it as a meet and greet with Gene DePasquale. He said, look, he's reached across the aisle to me. We've worked together on important things. And, he isn't Coffer is not a radical Republican. He's a very moderate Republican who, as I said, chose not to run again. So,
well, what Solomon doesn't bring out when he attacks DePasquale is the fact that DePasquale was actually a paid-up member of the American Legislative Exchange Council, the Koch brothers' bill-writing corporate lobbying group that writes bills that get introduced into all the state legislatures. They've passed, then the same bill gets approved in all the states. And they've managed to get hundreds, even thousands of bills passed in this state and that state and the other state. And there was a huge percentage of the Pennsylvania legislature that were members of ALEC. There was a scandal in 2012 where, because ALEC is secret, they try to keep their membership role secret. But some muckraking organization, maybe the Inquirer, I don't know who at the moment, published the names of the people who were members of ALEC in Pennsylvania. And Pasquale was one of them. DePasquale was one of them. They all quit immediately. That, but Solomon doesn't mention that. But that's actually a good point for Solomon.
Yeah, it could be. Now, DePasquale has a record because he was Auditor General for 8 years.
Yep.
Seemed to have done a pretty good job. Then he ran for against Scott Perry for Congress and got beat. And he was going to run again and then decided not to. And so he's picking up this position, Attorney General. And I don't know what kind of experience he has, in these legal things, but we'll see. We'll see on that. I did want to note, though, that one person who's been distinctly absent in ads is Matt Cartwright's opponent for Congress. He's got the Republican nomination, but he hasn't run anything to put his name out there for name recognition. Usually you'd put out at least a token amount of things. I don't see any yard signs or anything, just to get people to know the name. Cartwright doesn't have that problem. Cartwright's not running any ads either. He's just gathering money, but he doesn't have to. Although one hears rumors that the quote-unquote pro-Palestinian group is trying to organize some sort of a write-in vote against Cartwright. We'll see if that does anything or what have you. But it is a weird election. Dave McCormick is running ads, even though he's not opposed in the primary, which has forced Bob Casey to run ads. And they're going at it. There was an article this week that was not all that flattering to Dave McCormick that kind of undercuts his, aw shucks, I'm just a country farm boy image.
He's a country farm boy whose father was the president of Bloomsburg University.
Yeah, they lived in the president's mansion.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And they do own a 500-acre tree farm down the road.
Yes.
Not quite a farm boy as we understand it. But
yeah, I mean, he doesn't go out and milk the cows.
There are no cows on a tree farm.
No. Yes. There's an old joke about where are the trees, northeastern Pennsylvania with the accent, where are the trees? And then someone says, well, they're between the twos and the fours. We'll see. I'm sure as this race, both of those races heat up, the congressional race and the, of course, have you seen anything up in Susquehanna County for Dan Muser or for the Democrat running against him?
I saw one sign for the Democrat, nothing for Muser.
Okay.
The Democrat has no chance of getting any more than 32% of the vote.
Right. But it's that kind of election. I mean, yeah. A couple of years ago, we had an election where you couldn't breathe without seeing a street sign or an ad on TV or radio or this or that. So.
All right. Well, we've come to the end of our week's discussion. We'll see what happens in the primary.
Yes.
Taking place this Tuesday. Some people have voted already. Many people have voted already.
Yes.
So we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week, and we'll have the results.
And we'll have the results. That's right. And you, I wish you good luck. I know you're going to go see your doctor next week, and We need you back here, so don't let him mess around.
I won't let him mess around.
All
okay.
Right. See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.